Well, good morning. Can you hear me? Am I on? Okay. If you're in Cindy Imbrielli's group, you should be over in childcare. So if you could make your way over there, that would be great. Let's go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Philippians 3:12, and let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Oh, Lord, we just love you, Lord. You're just so good to us. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. It's just incredible to think that you sent your Son to die in our place, Lord, that we could be free of sin, and Lord, that we can be with you for eternity. And sometimes we just can't even fathom that just a love so great. But Lord, we just come here this morning to honor you and to just give you praise and to thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we pray that as we open your word, that you would speak to us. And Lord, if there's anything new that you want us to see this morning, we pray that you would just show us. We just lift up this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so, my glasses have a little smudge on them. So 2 weeks ago, at the beginning of chapter 3, we saw Paul give the Philippians a strong warning them against the false teachers. He even called them dogs and evil workers. Pretty strong, right? The Judaizers were teaching that you needed to be circumcised to be saved, that faith in Christ alone was not enough. But Paul says, no, rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. After looking at that passage, we saw Paul's pedigree and his past accomplishments. But those former things were not important to him. They were rubbish to him. He was okay with losing them if it meant that he could gain Christ. From our verses this week, or from last week, we saw Paul's desire to know and follow Christ. And in verse 10 and 11, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain resurrection from the dead. Today, we will pick up in verse 12 where Lori left off 2 weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. I said last week, but you know. Anyways, verse 12 to 14 is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. Let's go ahead and read verses 12 to 14 together. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Aren't those words, just those two verses, amazing, ladies? In Paul's letter, he often used illustrations from the world to communicate truth about the Christian life. Four are prominent in his writings: the military, architecture, agriculture, and athletics. And here in this passage, he uses athletics. He uses the athlete. The Greek games were popular in Paul's day, and so it makes sense that he would use this as an illustration. He starts by acknowledging that he had not yet achieved perfection. He has given up a lot for Christ's sake, sure, but he was not yet where he needed to be, and he knew that. He was going through the process of sanctification. Paul's determined purpose was to know Christ and to grow to be more like him. Do we have this desire as well? Paul had an intense passion to follow after Jesus. The words follow after come from the Greek word that means to pursue. This gives us the image of someone that is chasing after something for a specific purpose. Paul's purpose was to be sanctified and holy, to be more like his Savior. Just as a runner who runs with a goal in mind, this was Paul's goal. He is not speaking of salvation here. We cannot earn our salvation. But he is talking about running the Christian race. Paul wanted the Philippians to run their race well and to finish it, just as God wants us to do with ours. Now, I'm not a runner, in case any of you were wondering. I know my wonderful physique may have confused you for a moment, but the only place I really want to run to is down to the Donut Star here in Menifee, which is not good because I'm supposed to be off sugar. My girlfriends have been encouraging me, but it's hard, right? And I'm working on it. But I do have some runner friends. They train and they condition themselves and they eat healthy. They're very disciplined. They want to be in top shape so that they might want to win their race. And they're just super disciplined. A friend of mine was telling me, she's one of our nighttime leaders. She was telling me about an upcoming race that she was going to enter in a few years ago. She does races from time to time. And as she's telling me, and I'm listening, and I'm thinking, why on earth would anybody do this to themselves? I mean, it just sounded terrible. It sounds excruciating. But then she tells me that toward the end of her race, her body kind of hits a wall. Her legs hurt. They start to give out. Every muscle starts to hurt. And she just doesn't feel like she can go on anymore. And that's when God comes and meets her. And he finishes that race for her. And I thought, well, that's why she does it. I finally get it. She wants to see what God can do through her when she has nothing left to give. And the same is true for us as we walk with the Lord and go through trials in our own life. If we don't give up when we run out of strength, he will help us to win our race. We need to rely on him. I heard it said once that trials can make us bitter or they can make us better. Trials can have a purifying effect on our lives, and they can bring us closer to Jesus if we allow them to, or we can become bitter and angry as we walk through them. The choice is really ours. There are times in our race when we do feel like giving up, when we get worn out by life. The world around us has gotten dark. Just turning on the news this last week has been depressing to me. A man had acid thrown in his face. I heard 10 NYPD police officers were committed suicide. And you look at what's going on around you and you think, everybody around us, they don't have any hope. I'm so thankful that we have hope in Jesus Christ. But we become discouraged by those trials, whether they're health issues, financial issues, family problems that arise, they discourage us at times. About a month or so ago, I started getting really bad vertigo, and I hesitated to bring this up in my message just because I start getting a lot of questions, and I just want to tell you I'm fine. God's good, but I have to tell you, it's been such a distraction in my life. It's like it was just thrown in there out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. And there's times when I can't drive, there's been times when I can hardly walk. I feel like I'm on a boat. I'm seasick most of the time. And the Sunday before women's retreat, our busiest time of the year, I was driving to church on a Sunday, and Christy Miller had to come get me from my car because everything started to spin. I'm driving and I can't see anything. I can't see this road sign to tell her where I'm at. And I ended up in the hospital that night. And it's just vertigo. Many of you are going through much harder things. But I bring it up because it's really altered my life. It's been something that happened out of the blue. As health issues usually do, right? They just come out of nowhere and you don't expect them. One minute we're doing great and then bam, a trial hits and you don't expect it. But even in the middle of our trials, God is still on the throne in our lives, ladies. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but don't give up as you go through those things. God is going to give you the strength that you need to get through them. Isaiah 40, 28 through 29 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God? The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength." Lamentations, one of my favorite verses, 3:22 through 24 says, "Though through the Lord's mercies are not consumed, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." We can have hope because our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the anchor for our soul. Even when our strength is waning, he's faithful. As Jeremiah got his eyes off of himself in Lamentations, his hope was revived. This can happen for us as well as we look to our Savior. And we need to share this hope with people in the world because they don't have the hope that you and I do in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul gives us four things in our passage today that we can do that will help us to run our race. Number one, we need to be honest with ourselves. Verse 13, I do not count myself as apprehended. Paul evaluated his own spiritual condition. He looked at himself honestly. No matter how far we've come, we still have growing to do. If Paul had not arrived, how can we think that we have, right? Lehman Strauss says that when a Christian is satisfied that he has arrived, he ceases to grow. How are we doing spiritually? What areas do you and I need to grow in? We need to look at ourselves in the light of God's word and assess where we are. Paul did not look to the opinions of others. He looked at Christ's example for this. When assessing ourselves, we need to be careful, though, because self-evaluation can go in two directions. We can make ourselves better than we are, thinking that we are pretty awesome and we have it all together. We can become complacent and even proud. Or we can make ourselves worse than we are and even condemn ourselves when we fail. When we look at ourselves, let's keep in mind that God is still working on us and the process doesn't happen all at once. It takes time. It doesn't feel good to see our shortcomings when God does show us about ourselves. We like to think that we're a little bit better than we are, and then all of a sudden we see it and we're like, wow, I'm worse than I thought I was. Romans 7:18, Paul admitted his shortcomings. He said, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. This is encouraging that even though Paul hadn't arrived, he kept pressing toward his goal. He kept allowing God to work on him. We also need to be careful that we don't compare ourselves to others that are running the race. Warren Wiersbe says that many Christians are self-satisfied, that they compare their running with that of other Christians, usually those who are not making much progress. Had Paul compared himself to others, he might have been tempted to be proud and perhaps to let up a bit. Instead, Paul looked to Christ's example. Now, this is a tough one for women. We tend to compare ourselves to others at times, don't we? Her baby was potty trained at 1.5. Why isn't my Ralph potty trained yet? Or my boss gave her a raise and I've been working here longer than her. Why hasn't he given me a raise or given me that new position? Or maybe you've been serving in a certain area of ministry and someone that started after you, maybe Lucy, has been asked to do something that you haven't been asked to do. Now, you can tell that all of these examples are fictitious people, but you get the point. Everyone has been given different gifts, and so we can't compare ourselves to each other. God has called us to different things. Our race will not look exactly like someone else's, our best friends. Our children will not look like each other's children. They're different. Let's not compare ourselves or our children to other people's children. Run your race according to what God has called you to do. He loves you and He made you with your own unique personality and your own unique gifts. Next, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Paul had a single focus in mind, and that focus was to press toward his goal. No athlete can succeed by doing everything. And we try as women, we try to fit 500 things into one day. But to be successful, we can't, because if we're not free to do the things that God's called us to do, or we're so busy everywhere, then we're not doing things well and how He wants us to. If you're a wife and a mom, make sure that your family's a priority. It's easy to get drawn into a million different directions, not only here, but with family, the PTA, serving in the classroom, things like that. Your kids are not going to be little forever. Pray and ask God what He wants you to take on. And it's funny because we just talked about this in Revival Moms on Tuesday. There was a panel. But this really applies no matter what age you are. We need to leave those things that God hasn't asked us to do to Him. For some reason, as women, we think that God, you know, He needs us. But He doesn't. He's going to call somebody else to fill in that spot. And so if we don't, He's going to provide a person for that job. And so if we do too many things, we're not going to be doing anything that He's called us well. Now, second, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul tells us that we need to forget the past. Verse 13b, Paul could not erase his memory of his past. That's not what he's saying here. He's telling us to forget what's happened to us. He's saying, don't look back there. Don't let the past control or hinder you. Don't let it keep you from running your race effectively. Now, I don't know that many runners that run looking backwards the whole time. They look forward so they don't trip and fall, right? Sure, a runner can glance back for a moment to see where the other runners are, but she can't do that for very long because she's going to take a face plant. She needs her attention to be on the path ahead. There are many Christians that are so focused on their past that they aren't moving forward in Christ. They feel condemned by their failures. They can't run their race effectively. Once we repent and God forgives us, move forward, ladies. Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And us women, we like to really give ourselves a hard time when we mess up. We're pretty hard on ourselves at times. So I love Hebrews 11 because about these men and women like Abraham, Moses, and King David that were not perfect, and yet they made it to the Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith. They made mistakes in their walk with the Lord, and some of them made really big mistakes, like King David when he had his affair with Bathsheba. But yet, God kept working on them. He kept using them, and they kept going. If you ever feel disappointed in yourself, like you're just, you know, how can God use me? I'm not good enough. You know, look, read Hebrews 11. It will encourage you because these men did great works for him. And it's amazing how far God's grace really will extend to us, ladies. He's so good to us, even when we blow it. Now, it's important that we forget the past. And number three, Paul says that we need to reach to the future. Verse 13 says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The verb reaching denotes an athlete who runs without swerving off course, one who strains their entire body to cross the finish line. He is concentrated on winning his race. Hebrews 12:1 says, and we must run with endurance the race that is before us. Notice that this is moving forward. It's not looking back, it's looking ahead. Now, a runner cannot run effectively. I'm sorry. The idea is that we don't get distracted by other things on the path that will pull us off course. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race that is before us. A runner cannot run effectively if she's carrying a bunch of extra weight around, right? When she dresses for her race, she doesn't add ankle weights and leg weights and a backpack full of rocks, maybe to train, but not really to run a race effectively to win. She wants to make herself lighter. Ginger told me yesterday when she was doing my hair that a runner actually wears really light clothing, which I never knew that. And it makes sense now because you see them with those like slippery shirts on and stuff. But they wear light clothing, light shoes, as light as possible, so that they're not weighed down when they're running their race. And the same is true as we run our race. We want to stay light, as light as possible. We don't want sin or outside distractions to weigh us down. We want to lay those things aside. We don't want anything in our lives that's going to hinder us. And sin really does make us effective, so we need to get rid of it, cast it off to run our race. What about those things in our life that aren't necessarily sin? Maybe they're just distracting us from the Lord. Busyness, filling up our day with too many activities, watching too much TV, our phone, that can be a big one, right? Our phone. Maybe it's hanging out with our friends too much, not being with our family or with the Lord enough. Shopping, travel, whatever it is. And none of these things are necessarily bad. But they are if they're keeping us from spending time with the Lord. Anything can become an idol in our lives if it takes precedence over our devotion to Jesus. Is there anything in your life right now that is keeping you from having enough time with the Lord and spending time with Him? Now, I have three dogs. When Shiloh and I take them out for a walk, they It's crazy because there's a lot of them. It's too much. I call them a herd. But they get distracted by everything on the path. They're all over the place. They are smelling everything. They're distracted by cats, dogs, cars, and even the grass and the trees. And they have to stop and smell every little thing on the path. And two of my dogs are basset hounds, so they have a really strong sense of smell. Well, all of this sniffing and smelling that they do, we never get anywhere. It takes us forever to get anywhere on our walk. They're so distracted by the world around us. Well, Christians can be the same way in their walk with the Lord. They're so distracted by the things around them in the world that draw them away from Him. Things that don't have any eternal value. Mark 4:18 tells us that the seed that is sown among the thorns, they hear the word and the cares of the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word out. And it becomes unfruitful. We have to be careful that we don't allow the world to choke out God's word and Him from our lives, and that we don't get off course by these things. Number four, Paul says that we need to press toward the mark. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press describes a vigorous and concentrated pursuit. Someone who is disciplining themselves. Runners and other athletes train for years to go into marathons, Ironmans, things like that. And when they enter a big race. And we need to do the same. We need to discipline ourselves through prayer and reading God's word. We should pursue it, ladies. We should be pursuing our walk with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:26 through 27, Paul says, therefore I run thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We want to keep our faith strong by being disciplined. We do not want to be disqualified in our race. Christ gives us the tools that we need to fight the battles that come up in our lives. We need to put on His armor every day. Next, we're going to move into our next section, which is verse 15. Paul says, let us therefore, as many are mature or perfect, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have for a pattern. So Paul knew that disunity in the churches was a problem, which is why he frequently exhorts them to be unified. And we see him do this again in Philippians 4 with two women in the church, which Ginger's going to speak about next week. Let us have this mind or be like-minded as having one mind, and he desires that that mind would be the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. He is speaking to those that are mature or maturing here in this passage. He does not contradict his earlier statements in verse 12, where he knows where he is. He knows that he's not perfect yet. That's not what he's saying. He says, join in following my example and take notice of those who walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul uses himself and as others as spiritual yardsticks here. He says, be followers together of me or keep becoming what I am, joint imitators of Christ. The person he is encouraging them to follow is Christ through him and through others that have a godly walk. He wants them to watch and mimic him and them as they're shaping their lives after Christ. As Christians, we should be setting good examples for others by our love, our conduct, and our speech. Sometimes we fail at this, don't we? We don't do everything perfect, but this should be our goal. We want to represent Christ well. Next, in verses 18 to 19, he shows us who not to follow here. Read with me in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So Paul's weeping here. Well, why? Why is he weeping here? In verse 1, he exhorts the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. We know that he was joyful even in the midst of his trials. He's weeping because of these false teachers. These verses don't specifically tell us who these men were, but if we're taking it in the context of Philippians 3, then we know that it's the Judaizers. His statement, "their God is their belly," shows us just how carnal these men were. These false teachers were in the ministry for what they could get out of it. They glorified in the things which they should have been ashamed of, and they had their mind on earthly things. When reading this, I immediately thought of TV evangelists like Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, and others that are like them. They teach, they distort the gospel message often. They leave things completely out. They preach a prosperity doctrine, a word of faith, and they gain financially from their ministry. Their churches are huge. They're in huge stadiums. Not too far from the teachers in Paul's day, their message may have been different from these false teachers in our day. But if Paul was alive today, I believe he would have warned us about these men and women, warn us to stay away from their teachings. When it's not the full counsel of God, we need to be warned, ladies. We need to be careful. Next, Paul says in verse 20 to 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So in order to participate in the Greek games, the athletes had to be citizens. They did not have to run their, they did not do this to gain their citizenship. They didn't run the race to get citizenship. The people in Philippi were citizens of Rome, but they were also citizens in heaven. They had a dual citizenship, just as you and I do. The verb "is" here indicates that this is a present possession. Even though we live here on earth, we have a citizenship in heaven. As citizens, we look for and anticipate our Savior's return, don't we? Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies into his glorious body. This will be the finish to our maturing process here on earth, the end of our race. We will be made perfect like he is. And I can't wait. We won't have to fight our yucky flesh anymore. We won't have blow it and sin. All of that will be over. We will be changed spiritually, and we will be changed physically, which I'm really excited about. No more aches and pains. All the crazy things that are happening with our bodies here on earth aren't going to happen anymore. This last year, we've had to put a lot of work into our cars. We have 4 cars in our family, and it feels like we're at the auto shop pretty much every other week. Something's breaking down in one of our cars. But just as a car that's been driving for years needs a lot of maintenance, the paint starts wearing off and chipping, maybe the side mirror's hanging off a little. I don't mean to compare us to cars, but I'm gonna. the turn signal doesn't work anymore. You and I also need a lot of maintenance, don't we? I feel like I'm a beater car sometimes. Do you remember those old Pintos and station wagons that from the 70s and 80s? And I feel like I'm one of those. I'm an ugly green Pinto sometimes. This past year, I've even had these little, okay, I'm just going to get personal, these little white hairs coming up out of my eyebrow. Okay, I just want to ask you, what is up with that? Because nobody warned me in my 20s about this. Nobody. Okay, ladies, I'm just telling you now, it's going to happen in your 40s. And they don't grow the same way. They grow like this. So... And I, of course, my girlfriends are like, oh, they're all serious. Oh, no, you never pluck those. They won't grow back, Lori and Christy. They gave me a really strong warning, never pluck those. They'll never grow back. But what are you going to do? It's going like this, you know. I need to be traded for a new model. And this is going to happen when we get to heaven. It's so exciting. No more maintenance, no more upkeep. It's going to be wonderful. Women spend obsessive amounts of money on anti-aging creams, makeup, hair removal, weaves, hair dye to cover up our gray, don't we? And some on plastic surgery these days. We do a lot to keep our bodies looking good. That's not going to happen anymore. We don't have to worry about this in heaven. We will have our new glorified bodies. We will bear the image of the heavenly. 1 John 3:2 says, "But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." God is good, something for us to look forward to. Now, to conclude today, next week in Philippians 4, Paul's going to tell us to stand fast in the Lord. Ginger's going to be sharing with us about that. So don't miss it. It's very exciting. I'm very excited about next week. But it's a continuation of what he's been speaking here in chapter 3. He says to persevere, to keep going. The Philippians need to hear it, and so do we. We need to stay strong in our faith, ladies, to keep maturing and growing in the Lord, to keep pressing forward, staying disciplined. And when those trials hit, we are not going to be moved. We must keep our eyes on our Savior. He's going to strengthen us. There's a story of a man who's buried in a small church at the foot of one of the greatest mountains of Switzerland. The young Englishman was killed while making the ascent on that mountain. On his tombstone, under his name, the dates of his birth and his death, the following inscription is carved: "He died climbing." And I just love that because he was so set on finishing that climb that it was worth dying to him to do. He was going to finish no matter what. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." I want to be able to say this: I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. How about you? Many Christians have allowed themselves to be disqualified from their race. They've allowed other things to pull them off course. Let's be women that finish or die climbing. Allow God to mold you into what he wants you to be. Allow him to have his way in your life, to do this sanctifying work in you. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but it's worth it. Let's be women that are committed to growing into Christ's likeness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Just, Lord, how it ministers to us and it teaches us. And Lord, you are so faithful. And Lord, we do want to grow to be more like you, just as Paul had that desire. And so, Lord, I pray that you would always keep that desire in our hearts. Pray for any woman here that's been struggling. Maybe she's been going through a lot in her life. Lord, would you just minister to her, continue to speak to her as this day progresses. And Lord, that maybe they would ask, that woman would ask for prayer if she really needs it. Lord, we love each other and we're all here for each other. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go to our groups that we would be open with each other and transparent, and that you would finish the work that you started this morning. We just pray that today you would be glorified and honored in this place. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.